Toby.
Hello.
Hello. It's Dave. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for your time.
Just coming on.
So where are you calling from, Toby? Are you in London?
Yeah, I'm in Fulham.
How are you? Cool.
Yeah, just about a stone's throw from the river.
Are you? Is it looking very flat, the river? Someone sent me pictures of it when lockdown happened and it was still.
Yeah, today it'll be, there's not a drop of a breeze today. So yeah, today, yeah. I haven't looked
at it. Also, the boat's going up and down, so it's not.
No, I don't think there's a lot of boat traffic, no. But I live on the back. It's a flat I rent, which is used to be, it still is, but it's a place called the Parsons Green Sports Centre, which backs onto the Hurlingham Club. So what they've done is the sports centre, which was tennis courts and squash courts and stuff, went bust. And some guy with money went, I'll tell you what I'll do. You give me the building. I'll turn it into apartments. I'll make you a nice clubhouse and build you some tennis courts. But I keep the property, which is what they did. So they built like 25 flats and they've got tennis courts out the back. So on my balcony looks over some tennis courts. It's a really nice sound hearing a ball by racket. It's just something that's a bit normal.
Live sports in town.
Oh, hello. Didn't know you were there.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm always lurking in the background. Hey, you mate, you all right?
I'm very good, yeah.
So how's life at the moment, Toby, in terms of working? Are you doing much work? I would imagine directors and producers are probably working less than agency.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very strange. Obviously, there's some kind of movement, a little bit of movement, because the APA is proclaiming the world is, you know, that we're open for business. So I've got two jobs, one that was confirmed and postponed just before lockdown, and another one was confirmed just before lockdown, but without a shoot date or a contract. I don't think the one that's been postponed that hasn't, I've heard no sign of that starting up. The other one, they'd like to make it, but obviously the scripts as they were would make it is almost impossible to make at the minute because the restrictions are so detailed. So right now I've been keeping busy with, I don't know if you know Gav Cookman, him and his brother Mark used to have a company called MGV.
Yeah.
That were animatic makers. And Gav pretty much retired from the business a couple of years back, went back to Woking where he lives and I think he's doing some work in construction. But I phoned him up when, after about 2 weeks of being really bored and getting quite angry at the government, I rang him up and said, have you got any, you still got all that After Effects kit of yours? And he went, yeah. And I said, are you busy? And he went, no. And I said, do you fancy bashing the Tories for a bit? And he went, sure. So that's what we've been making. Yeah, it started with me looking at Boris Johnson clapping outside number 10 and getting angry about that, thinking you're never going to, the moment this is all over, you'll forget the NHS. Yeah. So that's what we did. We made a thing about why they're clapping. We made a little animated film, 30 seconds long. Then we made some posters. And then we did another one and another one. So that's what I've been doing.
What do you put that under? How can people find that?
It's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Under T Courlander.
Courlander.
It's on my Instagram feed. And we put it on LinkedIn as well, because obviously for Gav, he's not done any work like that for a while. So it was good for him to get some stuff out there that people might see and go, oh, I didn't know he was around, because he can obviously work remotely from anywhere. We've done about three different weeks. We've got another one we're going to send out tonight just as a thank you to the NHS, which is something that Gav did himself, which is really sweet. And then he's back on a building site next week, so we'll see how that goes. That's pretty much what I've been doing, to be honest, and learning how to bake bread.
The sourdough?
No sourdough yet. I think that's a bit Stoke Newington for me.
Is it?
I'm West
So what bread again. Are you trying to make?
Plain white bread. Yeah, I started with a cob, and the first time I did it, I've got a local deli down the road called Amelia's on the New King's Road. They were amazing, and they have lots of flour, lots of yeast, all that stuff. So I went out and I bought some, and I went online and I looked at a video, and I copied this guy, and everything went like a dream. It was like, oh, this is really easy. And then you do this, and then you do that, and then you do that, and then you chuck it in the oven, and it comes out looking exactly like it looked on the video. And since then, it's been disaster after disaster. It's not easy. I made one two nights ago that worked. That was the first one that's worked in five. And a mate of mine is a sound recordist. He is almost used to bake on almost an industrial level. Like he really got into it. And he was selling to local delis and stuff. And he's been advising me. So the other day we went through it and I managed to get one out that worked. He said, you just got to be the boss. And I'm like, stop all that.
Really?
And he's like, no, seriously. You have to tell the yeast and the flour who's boss. It's like, it's nuts, right? But it's great when it comes out. I mean, it's like, it tastes like bread, and it's something you've done.
Well, I've got Paul Watts mentoring me on sourdough, but it's bloody hard.
Yeah, I hear sourdough is very tricky because you've got to have a starter, haven't you, and all
cool
that.
Timing. Yeah, the starter's all right. It's just the timing and, it's hard. It's hard for me anyway. So, Toby, presumably you're watching lots of films, TV and stuff.
Yeah.
What would you recommend someone watch that they might not have considered?
I've seen and listened to quite a lot. I haven't read anything. But in terms of Netflix, obviously all the stuff that people have talked about, I've watched pretty much. There's two films that I've seen that are really sweet. One was called All the Bright Places, which is an American film about a young lady who struggles with mental health. But it's charming and romantic and the kind of films that I like, which are sort of very small stories about very big subjects,
yeah,
you know, like love. And Parvno's my son. And it's remarkable because the boy who's in it is an absolute ringer for my son. He's a mixed race boy. Yeah. And I watched it and I went, I can't believe I'm watching this. It's like watching my boy. That's on Netflix, All the Bright Places. Another film called The Half of It, which is written and directed by a girl called Alice Wu. And that's about a girl who's learning who she is. And that, again, is like this very charming story in a very small town, America, about a very big subject. And it's great. It's really lovely.
Brilliant. We'll check those out. Not heard any of those. Excellent.
Half. Look at Tobes. You can reopen pubs or restart the Premier League.
Are we talking, when you say reopen, do you mean as in normal, as it was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then it's got to be the Premiership. Yeah.
Put me Who back do you in support, my, Toby?
Chelsea. So put me back in my seat at Stamford Bridge and I'd be a happy boy.
We don't want to do that silly thing of opening it with no one sitting there watching it.
I did see a FC Seoul got fined a large sum of money for putting sex dolls in the place of crowd.
Oh, I saw that the other day. Yeah, that was
quite entertaining. Weird, but entertaining. And, yeah, and I can't imagine them doing that at the bridge.
I watched the Dortmund game on Saturday. It was bizarre.
It's like, what's the point, Parv? It's German football. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I couldn't bring myself to watch that.
It sounded like it was in a sports hall. Literally, and obviously there's a part of that stadium, it was obviously its exterior as well because it hasn't got a roof, but it did sound like a sports hall and you could hear like the PE teacher shouting from the sideline.
My production manager was meant to be at that game. That was a game he was booked to go to see with a friend of his and sit in that wall, yeah, which obviously he's going to have to wait for another time. That's meant to be the most extraordinary experience, sitting in that bit of the ground. Is meant to be amazing. But you're right, Parv, I watched about 2 minutes on Twitter, and they had some crowd sounds, which was bizarre.
Oh, really?
And it was just like, A, it wasn't a very good game of football, and B, you're right, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. I mean, we will enjoy watching Chelsea or Arsenal or whatever, but because it's live and it's part of our world, but it's not going to be right, is it?
No, it's going to take a while. So, Toby, have you discovered anything about yourself, having had to be locked in for the last 8 or 9 weeks, that you didn't know?
I don't know that I have. No, I think I've coped with it. I think we've had our moments of despair and joy. The first 2 weeks was weird, wasn't it? It was like, it was quite exciting.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh shit, this is for real. So no, I mean, I've just discovered, I mean, I've relearned stuff about myself. Like, you know, I'm not that easy to live with. My girlfriend who's Spanish is here with me. So she's had to suffer me.
Yeah, it's come up a lot, that. A lot of the men have said that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't envy her at all. And also she's been away from her family and watched what's been going on in Spain.
Yeah.
She's from Malaga. So it's been horrific for her. And she's got, you know, family who've been literally locked up. She can't believe what's going on here. She comes, when I go walking with her in the park opposite, she can't believe the amount of people out. Finds it quite shocking because the Spanish have been, like the French and the Italians, have been very, very strict. I worked with some French directors and they told me that they had to install an app before they could go out. They have to put on the app where they're going and why they're going there. So if they get stopped by the police, they can show them what they're doing and what they're planning to do. And if they don't, if they haven't done it, they get fined on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blimey. Perhaps that's where we'll be in the when we get in the autumn, if it comes back.
Yes.
So have you noticed any environmental changes around you? Any different animals turning up? Or
I mean, obviously where I am is very urban. But when I was talking the other night to my friend, a mate of mine, and obviously these headphones or the Apple iPods, whatever you're wearing, they're pretty sensitive to ambient sound. And he could hear a crow, a blackbird singing away in the background. And it was on a tree, you know, good 100 metres away. So you notice stuff like that. I did notice very quickly how much the sky had changed without planes, because we're right under the flight path.
Of course, yeah.
So when the wind's in the right direction, we're getting planes every 2 minutes or whatever they are. And now, well, there's not a plane in the sky today. That might be the direction of the wind. But when there are, you notice them. And I don't know why, I'm a bit of a geek for planes. I've got a plane app and you just look at it and you can see where the planes come from. And they're
so are you missing them then?
No, I don't miss them. I don't say I sit here all day looking at them. But when this week you watch them and you wonder where they've come from and have a look, and it says that one's from Shanghai, that one's from somewhere else in the world, that one's from New York. So you can tell where they've come from. But obviously some of them aren't carrying passengers, they're carrying cargo. But no, I don't say I miss them. It's really great without them. And at night time, even though there's a lot of light pollution here, it's the sky's a lot clearer.
Cool. So we've got a question that Chris Palmer's just posed, which is, do you think the virus was man-made or natural, and do you think it was released deliberately or by accident?
Bloody directors. Well, No, I think it's natural. I believe the idea that it's passed from an animal to, you know, there's a virus existed in a bat or whatever, and it's passed via a live animal in a market. I believe that would be the case. From what I've read from guys like Larry Brilliant, who predicted this pandemic in 2006. And what was the second part?
Well, probably if you believe it was natural in the first place, you're less likely to believe it was released deliberately.
No, I don't think
she's the real conspiracy theorist. I presume Chris is turning these issues over in his mind as we
speak. That's fine. And he's not alone in that. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's kind of weird to think that the Chinese, who were, you know, whose economy was booming and were doing, destroying the world, needed any help destroying us a bit quicker because it's destroyed their economy too. It doesn't really make any sense. You go from that to 5G masks, don't you, in a heartbeat?
Yeah.
If you look at a TED talk by Larry Brilliant in 2006, he predicted this pandemic and they also knew how to stop it, but the governments of the world didn't listen. So the scientists have known this is happening. And I watched a program yesterday when they reckon there's another 200 viruses out there capable of switching between animals and man. So they're there, and they think they can stop them, most of them. And obviously, I think that the way it becomes man-made is the fact that we've exposed ourselves by cutting down forests and intruding on wildlife in a way that we shouldn't.
Harv, have you got a lighter question to...
Oh, you got to answer the loo roll question. I always lighten the mood with the loo roll.
Yeah, let's lighten the mood.
I've been listening to that. I've got to say, I was surprised how much toilet roll Yvonne Chalkley managed to collect. That was quite a surprise.
What were her numbers again? I can't remember off the top.
Well, she had industrial toilet paper, didn't she? She got it from the local cafe or something. I don't think
that's right.
Because she had
industrial loo paper she needs. Yeah.
She hasn't even got into that yet.
Well, we also just found out that Chris Palmer has not been through two rolls yet since the lockdown. So we don't know what's happening there. But
okay, did you see that app they had, which you could determine how much loo roll you'd need?
No.
No, I'll have to find it. I'll send it to you. It's probably something like, how much toilet roll do I need? And then you went in there and it said, you know, do you live alone? And I said, no, two people. How many times a day do you go to the toilet? Well, I'm not going to say that publicly, but, you know, normal. How much toilet roll do you use roughly every time you go to the toilet and put that in? And it was surprising. We had enough to survive through to late July. And we didn't have that much.
Oh, really?
So maybe Chris is not that abnormal with his toilet paper usage.
So what's your number?
What's the number? Well, I can be very precise because there's a packet that's been unopened that now needs opening, which is 16. Yeah. But I can add a Christmas present Casper gave me 2 years ago, which is Dump on Trump.
I've got that as well.
So it's 17. So right in the middle of the pile, I imagine.
Mid-table like Chelsea. Brilliant.
Let's not go there. We don't need to get into that kind of discussion. That would be unseemly.
So we've got one last question, Toby, which is, can you name an ad that you've seen during this period?
I would have said until a couple of days, but I hadn't actually seen any ads. I hadn't really registered one. But there's something that Kevin Thomas has just done, which I really like because of the subject matter. He did something for the Laura Hyde Foundation, which is mental health awareness in the NHS. And he shot that, obviously, because I know his production manager and obviously I know him. And I know he shot that with a very small crew a week or so ago. And it's really lovely.
I saw that today, actually. I think Scott put it up, Crane.
Absolutely. And as I said, the thing about it is that, you know, you wouldn't have done it any differently. That's how I'd make it a good ad. I think it would be nice if I could get to produce some ads where people don't go, oh, it's all right for a lockdown ad. It'd be nice if we could do some stuff that connects emotionally with people that people just don't notice how it's been made. Because that's the sign of a good ad, I would think.
Brilliant. All right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Toby. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure. Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Cheers, guys.
Thank you. See you.
Bye.
Bye.